Studies test. Those of you that didn't do too well on the States and Capitals part of the test are more than welcome to take that again on Wednesday. But if you liked your grade and you want to keep it, that is absolutely fine with me as well. So, I will not be going over the States and Capitals on this study guide, since we did that on the last one. I will only be going over Unit 2, Chapter 4, Social Studies, the Southeast. So, if you have that study guide available, go ahead and get it out, and let's go over the information you need to know. Number one, what is segregation, and how did it affect African-American children? Well, segregation is when you set a group of people apart from everyone else, so it can be based on a lot of things, but in this case, segregation was based on color. And how did it affect African-American children? Well, they didn't have the same rights as we did, and they were not allowed all of the privileges that white children were allowed during that time of segregation. So black children had their own drinking fountains, their own restrooms, all of those things in school, whereas today, obviously, we all drink from the same drinking fountain, and we all use the same restrooms and have the same rights. So segregation, the actual definition, is when you set a group of people apart from everyone else. But in this case, we were specifically talking about how blacks were treated differently than whites. Number two, what is a boycott? Give an example of a boycott that we read about. Well, actually, we didn't read it together. This was a lesson that you actually read on your own. But a boycott is when everyone gets together and they decide, as a group, that they are not going to, or they are going to do something in order to get results. So in a boycott, people often will refuse to buy something or use something if they disagree with the company that sells it, therefore making the company either change their actions or it'll put them out of business. So a boycott that was in the section on civil rights in the Southeast today was against the buses, the busing companies. And Rosa Parks was actually the person that arranged this, or not arranged it, but got it started when she refused to give up her seat to a white man after a long, hard day of work, and she was riding home on a bus. So the driver had her arrested, and that's when the Montgomery bus boycott began. Many people decided they were not going to take the bus until everyone was treated fairly, and they could ride wherever they wanted to on the bus and not just have to be forced to the back. So the boycott that was in this section was the Montgomery bus boycott, and to boycott something means that you refuse to buy or use something if you disagree with the company that is selling it, hoping that they will change their ways or put them out of business. Number three, what is a plantation? Well, a plantation is a large farm where crops are grown for money. They're cash crops, and we learned about that in the last chapter. So an example of a plantation would be in the South during the time of slavery, and they grew mostly cotton or sugar cane on these plantations where they had all of the African American people working for them as slaves and weren't paying them, and that way the plantation owner was reaping all of the benefits and getting all of the money after selling those cash crops because he didn't have to pay the slaves' wages. So an example would be a cotton plantation or a sugarcane plantation. But a plantation itself is just a large farm where crops are grown for cash. What was the first capital of the Virginia colony? That's number four. What was the first capital of the Virginia colony? Well, Virginia was England's first permanent colony in North America. And so remember, England was ruling them. And as the colony got bigger and bigger and bigger, they decided they needed to have a capital. And that's when they said that Jamestown was going to be the capital. The problem with Jamestown being in the capital was that, remember, it was in that low, swampy area at the mouth of the river near the Chesapeake Bay. And they decided later on to move their capital because those weren't the best living conditions in Jamestown. So they actually ended up moving the capital to a town called Williamsburg, which was located further up the river. But the first colony was Jamestown. Not the most idealistic capital because of the swampy area, but it was the first capital. Number five, To whom did Sequoia show his new alphabet? What was the alphabet called? We'll start with what the alphabet was called, because Sequoia was really, really fascinated by this whole idea of language being written down and being able to read it whenever the colonists came in, and the settlers were using the alphabet to read and write important information to each other. And when he saw this, he decided that he could do the same thing for the Cherokee in their language. So he came up with a system called the syllabary. And remember, a syllabary, he had each syllable of a Cherokee word have a symbol. And that's what the syllabary was. And he decided that he was going to get this going so that the Cherokee people could do the same thing that the English settlers were doing by reading, writing, giving messages to each other. So when he finished his syllabary, remember, there were a lot of people that didn't believe that it would work or thought that he was kidding about it or weren't quite for sure what to think. So he took his daughter and went to the Cherokee council. And remember, the council thought he was tricking them too. So they sent out for some young men from other Cherokee villages to come in and learn the alphabet. And then the council tested them to make sure that what they were reading was correct. And that convinced them that Sequoia's system really did work. So they bought into it and the syllabary was born. Number 6, why was Sequoia's invention important to the Cherokee people? Well, the Cherokee people, remember, this is kind of went along with the reading story that we read about the Choctaw language and the disappearing language that they had and the problems that they had with saving their culture. And it was the same thing for the Cherokee people back then. They were really worried that if they didn't have a way to give these stories and hand them down to their children, that their stories might not exist over a period of time. So why was his invention important? It was important because they were able to save their history and their stories and pass them down from one generation to the next so that their people kind of live on through the stories. So without being able to write them down, they wouldn't be able to save those stories and their history wouldn't be as rich as it is with the written language. Number 7, why did the royal governor close the House of Burgesses? Remember, the royal governor was in England, and he was not so happy with those men in the House of Burgesses because they had decided they didn't like the taxes, and they were not interested in paying the taxes, and they wanted to kind of get away from England, rule their own area, maybe become independent. So the royal governor said, okay, we got to take care of this issue right here, right now, so that these guys don't think that they can become independent of England. So that's why he closed the House of Burgesses. Number 8, what did the colonists decide to do at the Continental Congress? Well, remember, the Continental Congress was kind of the result of the House of Burgesses being broken up. The House of Burgesses broke up, and then they were told by the royal governor they couldn't meet anymore. They decided amongst themselves, well, we won't meet as the House of Burgesses, we'll just meet as the Continental Congress. So the colonists all got together, and at the Continental Congress, they decided to become independent. So they discussed it, and they wrote the Declaration of Independence and presented it to the King of England saying, here's the deal, we don't want you to rule us anymore, we want to become an independent colony. So they decided at the Continental Congress they wanted to become independent from England's rule. Number 9, who surrendered to end the Civil War, and where did this happen? Well, the Civil War came to an end when Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at the Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. That's what ended up, the Union began winning more and more battles, and Lee just finally surrendered. We're on number 10. What award did Martin Luther King Jr. win, and why did he win it? Martin Luther King Jr., remember, he's the one that was a very big civil rights leader, and he wanted to make sure that everyone was treated equally. Remember that civil rights are the rights of people to be treated equally under the law. So In order to have civil rights, everyone needs to be treated equally. He was not happy that blacks and whites were treated differently, so he moved towards the civil rights movement and saying, you know what, we all need to stand up and fight for who we are and fight for our rights to be treated just like everybody else. And he won the Nobel Peace Prize. And the reason that he won it was because he led many, many people to Washington to speak up and take a stand for the way that they wanted to be treated. And not just blacks and whites, but everyone, all people treated equally. That's what he wanted to happen. So he won the Nobel Peace Prize for this. Number 11, 12, 13, and 14 all have to do with the skill, one of the skills that we focused on in this chapter. In this chapter, we focused on two skills. One of them was summarizing and one of them was making decisions. We are going to focus primarily on the making decisions skill for the test. So if you have your book, 156 and 157, totally take care of the whole skill making decisions. So let's go ahead and go over these last four questions. Number 11, making a decision is the same as what? Well, making a decision is the same as making a choice. So you get to decide every day lots of different things, and making a decision is the same as choosing which route you're going to be taking. Number 12, what's the first step in making a decision? Well, making a decision requires you to identify a goal. What do you want to happen? That's the first thing you need to ask yourself when making a decision of any kind. What do you want to happen? Identify the goal. What step do you need to take before identifying options? Well, you should probably gather information. Gathering information is the step you need to do before you identify the options. You need to gather as much information as you possibly can about the goal you are trying to accomplish and decide what steps you need to follow. So gather information. Get as much information as you can before you identify which options you have in order to accomplish the goal that you've set. And 14, what are the consequences of an option? Well, consequences are results. And there can be good consequences and there can be bad consequences. A lot of people think consequences is strictly poor things or negative things that happen to you. And it's not necessarily the case. There are good consequences of an option too. So consequences are just the results, the result of the choice that you make in making decisions. Study those 14 things, and I'm sure you're going to do just fine on this social studies test. Wednesday morning, we will be having it. Have a good evening.